Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The only two times that Jesus used the word that the English translate marveled. Marveled. Jesus marveled. In the Greek, it's thou madso. Thou madso is the word. And it would be the same word that we use as amazing. So I'm talking to you today about amazing faith. You know, the Bible said when Christ comes back to the earth, his question is, will he find faith on the earth? The greatest thing that you can seek is faith. Because faith is the predicate to everything else. Faith is the door that opens to the kingdom of God. When you believe God, trust God, faith, it just sets everything in order. And so Jesus saw this man and listened to him, and he marveled. He was amazed. I guess of all the things that I would want in this world, I wished I could have faith that amazed God. I wish I could have faith that amazed God. God would look at me and say, Steve has such faith. I marvel at that. I marvel because of his faith. And I've got faith and it's growing all the time. You know, we talk about amazing grace, and we should. Because it's amazing grace that saves us all, no matter how perfect we might feel that we have become in our journey. We're saved by the grace of God. So when the writer, the old slave seller and owner, wrote the song Amazing Grace because he realized what a wretched man he had been and God saved him, he wrote Amazing Grace, the greatest song perhaps ever written, and we're still singing it, Amazing Grace. But that's not God's song. When God gets ready to lead heaven's choir, he doesn't introduce them to amazing grace. He introduces them to amazing faith. Just as we look at God's grace and say, how amazing. God looks back at earth and he wants to say, how amazing. And what was unique about this, because he had come to Israel, the household of Abraham, the people of faith, the Jews, and the person that he was talking about was a centurion. He was a Roman centurion. He was a Gentile. He was not even a Jew. And the Roman centurions, the Roman soldiers were very, very cruel to the Jews. It was one of these. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, I've never seen such great faith. I'm amazed at his faith. And then in just a few chapters, we find Jesus back at home. Nazareth was Christ's adopted home. He was born in Bethlehem, but Nazareth was his adopted home. And then he went to work his works in Nazareth. And when he got to Nazareth, began to work his works, they rejected him. They said, this is Joseph's son. This is Mary's son. We grew up with him. Said, that's wisdom. That's fake wisdom. And he even healed some people and they still didn't receive it. And Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own country. And then Jesus used the same word again. He said, I'm amazed. I marvel at your lack of faith. I would say Christ is probably still doing that. He's still marveling and amazing at the people that have such a lack of faith. If there's anybody that ought to have faith, it ought to be people in America. And America's not a very godly nation anymore. But we should recognize the hand of God and the blessing of God. America is a miracle. The fact that we won the Revolutionary War shows that God's hand was on America. We should not have won that war. The fact that we survived the Civil War and we were not attacked by a foreign country during the Civil War because America was so vulnerable during the Civil War when we were fighting each other. We survived the Civil War. We've survived so much, and we ought to be a people of great faith, but America is not a people of great faith. We're more like Nazareth. We just take it for granted. But I want to be a person of great faith that causes God to marvel and say, Steve believes me in the spite of everything. And I'm working on that every day. Here I am well into my life, and I've not quit. I'm actually energized. I pray more than I've ever prayed. I believe more than I've ever believed. I trust more than I've ever trusted. And I believe the coming of the Lord is near. But I believe before Christ comes, there's going to be a great outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Jesus is not easily amazed. He's not easily shocked. But just twice He used this word and said, I am amazed. Jesus is amazed at the centurion's faith. Jesus is amazed at the lack of faith of the people of Nazareth. And so Christ today is searching your heart. He's not looking for you to see perfect performance. He's searching your heart for one thing. Do you have faith? Do you believe that God was, is, and is to come? Do you believe that God is an ever-present help? Do you believe that God is in this room now? The centurion that amazed Christ, if he was in this building, he would receive the miracle he needed because he had that kind of faith. It wouldn't have to be a certain song or a certain sermon. It wouldn't have to be a certain feeling or a certain manifestation. The centurion would just have tremendous faith and receive what he needs. There are four principles of amazing faith that the centurion manifested all of these. The unworthiness that he felt. He knew that he was not worthy. If you're going to become a person of tremendous faith, amazing faith, you have to settle on this principle. And that was that the unworthiness was inferior to Christ's worthiness. Your unworthiness is inferior to Christ's worthiness. It's the reason why so many people don't get their prayers answered. They feel unworthy. If you go to the Lord in prayer, and what's first and foremost in your life, in your mind, is your track record, you're not going to get a miracle. You've got to get your mind off of yourself and get it on Christ. I was talking to a man last night. He was talking about a friend of ours has a little ego problem. He said, you know how Nate is. And I said, I don't know exactly what you mean. He said, you know Nate. Said at the funeral, he's always got to be the corpse. At the wedding, he's always got to be the bride. In other words, his attention is always on himself. In order to become a tremendous person of faith, faith that Christ will marvel at, you've got to get your attention off yourself. Not only your good, but your bad. You know, one of the great detriments to faith is people that think they're good because you're not. But an equal detriment is to think I am so horrible that God wouldn't bless me. This is not because of us. This is because of Christ. What a Christ we have. Folks, I want to tell you that Jesus blesses me every day. And I can't offer to Him a whole litany of perfection. He does that because He's Christ, not because I'm great. And so my faith is not in my perfection. I have never counted how many sermons I've preached, how many souls I've won to Christ, how many times I've come to church, how many hours I've put in prayer. When I go to prayer, I've never prayed in the name of Steve Fender. Every time I go to pray, I pray in that name that is above every name. The power of my petition is the power of who Christ is. And this centurion realized that he was a Gentile. He realized that his race was against Jesus Christ and all the Jews. He realized that he had nothing in his in his resume that entitled him for miracles, but that's not what he was basing his petition on. He was basing his petition on what he had heard about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Believe on me as the scripture hath said." Friend, when you begin to believe on Christ as the Bible said, it begins to build faith inside of you. I tell you, there's not a person in this building that does not have faith. But there's not a person in this building that cannot grow your faith until it becomes fantastic, until it becomes amazing, until it becomes marvelous. And God just does wonderful things in your life. You know, the number one thing that Christ wants you to do, you know what Christ wants you to do is win souls. And do you know how you win souls? The Bible said we're made overcomers. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That's Christ's part. And the word of our testimony. When you can have faith and cause great things to happen in your life and go through a tremendous transformation. You know, I love it when people tell me, "Steve, you're just so blessed. You're just so blessed. What's your secret?" My secret is Jesus. It's not work ethic. It's not intelligence. It's not obedience. It's not perfection. My secret is Jesus Christ. I never quit trusting in him. And that's what the centurion and I have in common. The centurion said, "I believe what I've heard about him. I believe that he can heal the sick and save the lost. I believe that he can cure the ill." So he said, "My servant is sick, dying at home." And he said to Christ, "I want you to heal my sick servant." And Jesus said, "I'll go with you." He said, "You need not do that, Jesus. You need not do that because I understand your power." He understood the worthiness of Christ was totally trumping his unworthiness. And I find it true. I find that when I get down to pray, the devil is always present, and he begins to remind me of what I'm not, and he reminds me of what I am not. He reminds me of what I have not done. He reminds me of the things that I failed at, but I've become an expert at rebuking the devil, binding the devil in Jesus' name by the blood of Christ, and say, "Shut your mouth, devil, because I am talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And the Bible said he's an accuser of the brethren. You know, the devil accuses you every day, the Bible said. But Jesus Christ is our advocate. You ever look at that word, advocate? That means he's my Johnny Cochran. That means he's my Perry Mason. That means he's my Ben Madlock. I tried to cover every generation I could there. He is my attorney. He is my lawyer. And whatever the devil says, he is my advocate. He rebukes the adversary for me. He said, "Shut up, because you're talking about the one that I bought at Calvary." I don't like people criticizing Living Way Church because Pastor Beck and I have given 50 years to it. That's the way I feel about you and the people that are in this church. And Jesus doesn't like for you to be crucified because he paid a big price for you. He shed his blood for you. He does not want anybody criticizing you. And so when the devil comes in like a flood to run his mouth, the Lord will rebuke the devil and say, "Shut up, devil, because this is my child in whom I'm well pleased." And he understands that I am going to intervene in his behalf with miraculous intervention, not because of his worthiness, but because of what I've done. He's altogether lovely. He is perfect, my Christ that I serve. And so I have faith, not because of my tithing record, not because of my church attendance. I have got faith because of what Christ did on that cross. He bled out for me. He shed his blood for me. He took my ordinances that were against me, my record. He nailed it to that cross. And he said, "It is finished." Ladies and gentlemen, when he said it's finished, he meant it's complete. It is complete. We're not trying to get God to do something. We're trying to move ourselves and jockey ourselves into a position where we can receive what Christ has already done. The second thing that caused his faith to be marvelous in the sight of Christ was the miracle was based on Jesus alone. Jesus said this. Jesus was not a braggart. He was humble, even though who he was. But he did say this in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The centurion, though he had not been raised to be a believer in Christ, had been converted. He knew that Christ had all power. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. I'm not confused about who God is. I'm not confused that there are many ways to heaven. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way. I realize that Jesus Christ has all power. All power was given to him by the Father. That means he has power over sin. He has power over failure. He has power over sickness. He has power when I fall. He has power when I make a mistake. And I call upon that name. And when I call on that name, it gives me access to the power of the Holy Spirit. It gives me access to the blood of Jesus Christ. It gives me access to his finished work. It gives me faith. It gives me access to his created angels. When I say in that name, and that's exactly what the centurion knew. He knew who Jesus Christ was. It amazed Jesus. Jesus said, I'm amazed that a person from his background would have that kind of understanding. Jesus asked the question one time. He said, who loves me most, the one I've forgiven a little or a lot? The correct answer was the one that you have forgiven a lot. And so that tells you what? That when people come to Christ, it doesn't matter about their background. They don't have to be raised in a preacher's home. They might have been a prostitute or a drug addict. It just doesn't matter because they've come to know the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, and it gives a tremendous emphasis to their praise and their worship. Look what the Lord has done. Look how far the Lord has brought me. From those that come from great sin, we give God praise. From those that come from religious hierarchy, like the Apostle Paul when he was the Saul of Tarsus, it gives you great praise. Look what the Lord has delivered me from. And when you understand that, your faith just begins to grow. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that Christ is in this building right now. You say, I don't see him. That's the reason why we want to be like the centurion. It was not what he saw. It was not what he saw. It was who he knew. So he realized the third thing he knew, the flesh of Christ need not be present. You know, I've always been a little amused at those people that give me the stories about how Christ appeared to them in the flesh. I've got friends that have told me those stories that Christ appeared to them in a motel room in a physical form. And I'm not denying that he did. I'm just saying he never has appeared to me in a physical form. But I have this consolation that when Thomas was struggling with his faith, he said, let me touch your nail prints. And Jesus said, well, you'll be blessed, but you won't be as blessed as those that have not seen and yet they believe. The centurion said, I have not seen what Christ is in the past. I don't have to have his flesh. He don't have to go home with me. All I have to have is his word to go home with me, and my servant will be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you the question today. Can you believe that Christ is in this room right now? Do you believe that Jesus is here? Do you believe that Jesus lied when he said, when two or three people gather together in my name, I'll be in their midst? I don't believe he lied. I believe Jesus Christ is in this building right now. I believe that he circulates among us. You know, it was usually just one out of a multitude. It was just one out of a group that would receive what Christ had for them. I hope there's more than that today. But you need to recognize the presence of God is in this room. He is in this room, and Christ is searching for one thing, and that is your faith. Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that he is a rewarder? Do you believe that he will withhold no good thing from you? And number four, the word of Christ is just as powerful as the person of Christ. That's amazing. The Bible said, my word will not return void. It goeth forth out of my mouth, It doth not return void. It will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Ladies and gentlemen, the kind of faith the centurion had that amazed Christ was he believed his word was as powerful as his person. You know, if Jesus Christ was to appear here on this platform, there's all kinds of reactions in this audience. But the Bible tells us that his word is just as powerful as his physical manifestation. That was the faith that amazed Christ. He was amazed because this man said, you don't have to go home with me. Just send your word. Friend, I believe in the word of God. I've had times in my life, sickness, other things in my life, where I just simply open the Bible and lay it on my chest and lay there before God and begin to call on the Lord, feeling like Jesus Christ was on me, like somebody that was giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's the Word of God. It's alive. The Word of God is alive. When I was a young boy in the city of St. Louis where I went to college, there was a great church there that I used to preach in. And they used to tell the story of how that church was established. It was started by a young man. He went to St. Louis as a young man in his 20s to try to start a church. No television, no radio, nothing in those days. He just couldn't get anybody to come to church. And he started in a second story. And so finally one day he took the Bible. He laid it on the streets of St. Louis on the street corner. And then he put his jacket over that. And then he started circling, hollering, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And people gathered by the hundreds, and he kept screaming, "It's alive, it's alive." And finally they said, "What is it?" He said, "I can't show you yet." But he reached in and he took that Bible and he kept it covered with his coat. And he went up those stairs and those people began to follow him up those stairs. And when he got up there, he jerked the coat off and he said, "There it is, the Word of God, it's alive." Enough stayed. The Holy Ghost fell. He began his church that way. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the Word of God is alive. I've seen what the Word of God can do. The Word of God is alive. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. There are people in this building right now that you need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle in your finance. You need a miracle of healing in your body. And the Word of God is here. And Christ is searching for us to see if we have any kind of faith. And surely there's somebody in this building that's got faith that matches the centurion and says, "I believe with God anything is possible." I was preaching in Peoria, Illinois on a cold, snowy night. There wasn't 50 people in that beautiful church because the snow outside was probably 2 or 3 feet high. And as we ended the service, there were just a handful, 50 people maybe, in that great church. There was a woman, she just raised her hand and somebody went to her and come to find out. The reason why she was there was her very first time. She had heard this church believed in miracles and she was deaf. And so finally they got the word to me as we were dismissing. People had already put their coats on, ready to go out into the cold night. They got the word to me. This woman wants to be healed for her deafness. When I laid my hand on her head, it was not a good service. There wasn't a lot of worship. There was not great music. And I was preaching, so there probably wasn't great preaching. It wasn't that good. But there was one woman there that had faith that attracted the attention of Christ. And when I anointed her and prayed for her, she fell out from beneath my hand as she went down. She stuck her fingers in her ear. She just laid there. And I looked down at her. Her eyes were closed. And all of a sudden a smile came on her face. She was an unsaved woman. But all of a sudden she began to speak in a heavenly language. And then finally she opened her mouth and said, "My ears have just been unstopped." That triggered a revival in that church where dozens and dozens of people came to Christ in Peoria because of one woman that had faith that amazed Jesus Christ. I promise you there's somebody in this building that has caught the attention of Christ today. He stopped at your pew. He stands at your elbow and he said, "You're almost there. If you will believe me to the uttermost," amazingly, he said, "I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to straighten out your family. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to fix your bank account. I'm going to open the closed doors." Christ is here today, but he's searching for amazing faith, and we can have it. That's the wonderful thing about Christ. He's an equal opportunity employer. He said, "I don't care who you are, bond or free. Jew or Gentile, I have come to all people. No matter who you are, you can have faith. You don't have to have any kind of lineage behind you. Just say, I believe that Jesus Christ is what the Bible said he was. I believe on him as the scripture has said, out of my belly comes a river of living water. Christ is in this room right now. There's somebody that desperately needs a miracle. I don't know what kind of miracle I need. It's not urgent enough, I suppose, because I'm going home after a while and I don't face any calamities that I know. I just know he's my daily keeper. But there's somebody in this building right now that's not going home to tranquility and peace and joy. You are facing a problem. I ask you to cast your cares on him. I challenge you to get out of your pew today when I give this invitation and come to this altar and say, I'm going to believe God to fix my marriage. I'm going to believe God to save my husband, my wife, my children. I'm going to believe God to fix my problem at work. I'm going to believe God to heal my body. Jesus Christ is a super God. He can do anything. And he's in this room right now. Just a little faith. You know, there was a little faith and Jesus rebuked them for a little faith. He rebuked them for little faith because they did not believe him for protection when they were in the boat. They didn't believe him for provision when they were hungry, and he rebuked them. But I tell you that Jesus rebuked them again the third time because they didn't believe they could do it again. They believed he was a one-hit wonder. Let me tell you about Christ. He's not a one-hit wonder. He can do it all over again. What he has done, he'll do again. God has saved to the uttermost, and he'll save you. God has healed people with cancer, and he'll heal you. God has delivered people from addiction, and he will deliver you. And so Jesus Christ is in this building today and said, don't be of little faith. Amaze me with your faith. Say, I believe that God will do it, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Ladies and gentlemen, I am important only because I am in Christ. I have power only because Christ is in me. It's not me, not my flesh, not my name, not my education, not my experience. It's Christ's power that worketh in me. And he's in this room right now. And here comes a little lady, and I believe that God can heal her right now. I believe that God can heal her in this moment, in this service right now. Is there somebody else in this building? You've got a need. I challenge you to bring your need to Christ. Bring your sick body to Christ. Bring your pain-filled body to Christ. Bring your lack and your need to Christ. He is searching for faith, and that's all it has to be. But you say, Pastor, I'm not worthy. As Ronald Reagan would say, there you go again. It's not about your worthiness. He's not expecting you to be perfect. That's the reason why he was perfect, because we are imperfect. He was the perfect sacrifice. He didn't pay part of it. He didn't make an installment. He didn't put it on layaway. It's paid in full. Just come and collect it. It's been paid in full. Occasionally, I'm eating in a restaurant when I go to pay my bill. They'll say, the little couple over at that table over there paid your bill. That's always a good feeling, not just because you have a free meal, but to know there's somebody in the restaurant that loves you. Well, friend, every time I try to pay my bill, Christ said, it's already been paid. You owe nothing. You owe nothing. But what about my mistakes? And Christ said, I don't know what your mistake is. It was blotted out. You know what it means? It said he blotted out your transgression. That means it's no more legible. It's no more readable. Christ cannot see it. Your transgressions are blotted out. And so don't stand in this altar today and say, if I'm worthy. You're not worthy. It doesn't matter. Don't say, well, I've got some things in my, I don't know whether I can get around those. Those mountains have been cast into the sea a long time ago. And Jesus is in this room. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to manifest your faith. The Bible said that Christ did not go home with the centurion, but the Bible said he was healed at that moment. When the centurion got back to the house, his servant was not dying, but he was alive. I want to tell you today, your dream is not dead, but is alive. I want to tell you, your health is not dead, but is alive. Your hope is not dead, but is alive. Jesus Christ is here, and he's going to release virtue and miracles in your life right now. And so what you should do is you should begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. You say, well, it hadn't happened yet. It hasn't happened in your mind, perhaps, but it's happened in Christ's mind, because he said it's finished. He didn't say it's partially done. He didn't say I'm working on it. He said it is finished. It is finished. Your salvation is finished. Your healing is finished. Your miracle is complete. Praise God. What did you come to this altar for? Is it monetary? Is it a miracle in your family? Is it healing in your body? Is it a spiritual thing? I want you just to see it complete. And then I want you to respond accordingly. Begin to praise God and say, thank God the cancer's gone. Thank God the leukemia is gone. Thank God the hearing loss is gone. The blindness is gone. The pain is gone in the name of Jesus. Because Christ is able. Christ is able to perform that which he has promised. I'm coming down this aisle, and I'm going to touch every one of you, not to heal you. Christ is the healer. I'm touching you to agree. For the Bible said, if any two agree touching one thing, it shall be done. And we are agreeing in the name of Jesus that Christ is greater than your unworthiness. Christ is greater than your fear. Christ is greater than your need. He is almighty. He is almighty. He paid the price. The blood that ran out of his body, the stripes on his back, the breath that escaped his lungs paid the price.